Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports.
I'm back and I'm in living color. I've been asking for a couple of weeks. JT ATM Taylor has been holding it down. You know, he did what he could. His numbers were all right. That's my man, 50 grand. And you're listening to Fantasy Sports and Politics here on Blog Talk Radio. We are the quintessential fantasy sports show. I'm telling you, we know what we're talking about and we know what we're doing. Check the archives, check our records, and you'll know that when you listen to this show, when it comes to fantasy sports and politics, we are real and we are on point. On today's show, we promise to bring you information in the week of sports, along with fantasy talk coming your way. On this week's show, we will discuss AFC North and West. We'll bring you insight from the opposing coaches in those divisions, and give you the advice that Peter King and the rest of SI Sports Illustrated, that is, brings to its readers. I'm actually going to read some of the breakdowns from Sports Illustrated, their fantasy football edition. Now, what you're going to hear might shock you. It might shock you, but these are quotes from coaches on the opposing teams that we're going to talk about. Again, we're going to talk about the AFC North and AFC West. Right now, let me bring in my co-host, Mr. JT ATM, Money Man, Magic Man, whatever you want to call him. Follow him on Twitter. Taylor. What's up, JT?
Cha-ching? Just call me Mr. Money Man. That's exactly what you should call me, because that's all I'm about, especially in fantasy. It's a money league. It's my league.
Somebody better call your mama. I'm going to treat you like like Brody's Place. Somebody call my mama. Anyway.
And let me tell you, before I go any further, this year, Vic, I'm dedicated to, if people, you are in a money league, if you're in a fantasy football money league, I'm dedicated this year to making you money in whatever league you're in. I'm dedicated to that. I'm gonna make somebody win a fantasy football, at least one or two championships. If you're in multiple leagues, you're going to at least win one of those championships. If you listen to me,
Jerry, I mean, that's what we were supposed to be doing the past couple of years. What was you dedicated to then?
No, I'm dedicated. I'm in more money leagues this year than I have ever been. Yeah. I'm dedicated to absolutely, without a shadow of doubt, people are going to call back and say, you made me win X league, and I won this amount of money. I want somebody to call me back and say that we did that.
Well, I want that too, but this is what I have to say to what you just said.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
And absolutely, I'm corrupt. And absolutely, I'm corrupted. Absolutely.
Some of your words. All right, check this out, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to get in on the conversation, you can dial 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. We got a couple of topics we want to get to before we get to fantasy football, but we have a caller that's sitting in the queue, and I'm going to get to them in a minute.
Wow.
We're going to talk about Tiger Woods and his latest performance. We're going to hear from Jason Kidd about going to the New York Knicks. That's your stomping grounds, Jerry.
Mm, right.
We're also going to discuss Amani Toomer's thoughts. He's reiterating and sticking by his thoughts about Tony Romo. So we're going to get to those things, but let me get to this caller real quick and see what they have on their mind. They're calling from the 424, new area code for me, so we'll see what's going on. Caller from the 424, welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics. Please state your name.
It's Mo, man.
Oh, what's up, Mo?
What's up?
What's happening, Captain? Ladies and gentlemen, this is one of my long time friends. He's in the movies now, the adult entertainment industry, I think it is. But
why would I be all like that? I'm tired of people who want to automatically put me in porn. I make quality films, family production. I have children, man. Come on, man.
Mm-hmm. That's what he's saying now. All right, anyway.
Oh, man. A backhanded slap.
I love my brother, dude. I love him. But, no, Mo, I know he's going to keep up with us and talk with us. So let's get into these topics before we jump into the fantasy football aspect of it. Jerry, we're going to hit the New York Knicks because right now the NBA is going through a signing period. And the big three that's supposed to be in New York, Brooklyn, New York, that is, looks like it's going to be not Juwan Howard. Oh, my God. Dwight Howard, Williams, and Joe Johnson. But the Knicks aren't going quietly. They're adding a 30-something-year-old Jason Kidd to their lineup to back up. If they match the offer to Jeremy Lin, the Knicks, that is, to Houston, Jason thinks that all roads lead through Miami. I don't think so. Not this year. But here's the difference you have to say about joining the Knicks.
It's the best stage on the planet. I've always had a good time in that building. My record is pretty good. I don't know what it is, but I've always felt that I've left it with a W. So I'm looking forward to playing 41 and plus a lot of playoff games there. So you talk about the fans and electricity and just the excitement. You know, it's easy to play there.
So Jerry, here's my question.
Right.
We already know that the kid's going to be a backup because
right.
he might not have the legs to run with New York anymore, but he has the wisdom. But is he chasing the money? Because I don't think he's chasing the championship going to the Knicks. What do you think?
I think he this is his last hurrah, so he wants to go out in a nice way in New York City. They're putting some decent pieces together. Quite naturally, they don't have the type of pieces they have in Miami or several other teams in the East. But there is almost a positive thing that Jeremy Lin's going to the Knicks already said they're going to match the offer Houston gave Jeremy Lin. So more than likely, Jeremy Lin is going to come back to New York, and Jason Kidd's going to mentor Jeremy Lin and provide a decent backup. I think that the Knicks are going to be a solid team, maybe not a second or quite naturally a final team, but I think they're going to be a solid team. You know what? I think they'd probably be a second-round team, but not being able to get into the finals because of the personnel they have. But Jason Kidd is nothing but a positive influence on that team. And they needed some better leadership, especially in the point guard position.
Okay. Well, I'm going to get to Mo in a second, but I'm thinking he already has a ring with Dallas. He's pushing that age where he needs to start thinking about retirement, along with, and I hate to say it, but like Tim Duncan, because we're all the same age. You know, I just turned 36. And it's like, dude, I don't feel like I need to retire if I was playing sports, but I don't have the rigors that those guys go through with the knees and the injuries and stuff like that. I don't know, because you got Ray Allen just agreeing to terms with Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he already has a ring. Is he trying to get another ring? But, Mo, that's your area of expertise, the Boston area, you know, Mr. Delaware. Talk to me about the Knicks and Ray Allen going to the Heat.
Well, I was actually in Boston last Monday, and just seeing everyone's like Twitter reaction, people are just going nuts. They're going ape. Like this man is just like stabbed someone in the back.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's funny that our reaction to when someone makes a trade or someone makes a decision to go somewhere to win or to make money, Ray Allen saw the writing on the wall. I mean, Rondo is a beast, But and Paul Pierce is a monster. But I mean, right
and
now
Jason
you
Perry.
Can't. And they brought in Jason Perry, but right now you can't. I mean, like the one thing I know for a fact now, LeBron James knows how to win. He knows how to win. He knows where to take his ball game. He knows how to focus, where to elevate, how to be cutthroat, and just go and use the dagger. So as a business proposition, as a business move, what's best for you in your career, I would have made the same decision. I would have gone to Miami. All roads lead to Miami, especially adding you're going to have Battier and Allen on the floor. Out of here. Are you serious? I mean, they're going to 3 points you to death with the power three. So, I mean, they're going to be extremely dangerous. You have age, experience, speed, size, everything in Miami right now. And people in Boston are just going to have to get over it. You're just going to have to get over it. It's business. No one sits here and screams when you leave your job at Wachovia and go over to Bank of America to get a better job and make more money. It's a part of life and business, what we do. It's the American way of making money. So, there's no loyalty. There's no loyalty to a team. The franchise doesn't have any loyalty to you unless you're LeBron James or Kobe Bryant. There's no loyalty. It is business.
Well,
and you go to make money and win, period.
I'm going to say this. And I know I got my cousin on the line, and I know he wants to get on LeBron, but hopefully he doesn't get on LeBron. But it's like this. If Brooklyn they already got Williams, they already got Joe Johnson. If they do get Dwight Howard, and Mr. Broussard said this on I think first take, whatever it was, they'll have a better matchup as far as chemistry wise for the Heat and beating the Heat, because the Celtics did the same thing when they brought in Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, and put with Paul Pierce. They all melted well together. I don't think Ray Allen going down to Miami is going to be a good fit. In my opinion, he's going to come off the bench, got it. But right now, they don't have – Chris Bosh is good. Don't get me wrong. He's good. But he's not going to face up Dwight Howard. He's not going to face up Dwight Howard, period. He can take him outside. Dwight can take him outside too. But Dwight can post him up and body him all day and get to the bucket. And Williams can distribute the ball. And Joe Johnson is a scoring machine from outside and inside. And you mix them with a couple of the extra players, I think they have a better mesh than Miami. So I think, honestly, if Dwight goes to or gets traded to Brooklyn, all roads, in my opinion, will go through Brooklyn.
No way.
If those three. I'm just saying, if you think about the chemistry, if you think about the – wait a minute, Jerry. I got to bring my cousin in, too. If you think about the chemistry and the way it'll develop as a team, it's a great shot. I'm going to let you get your thoughts in, Jerry, but I'm going to bring my cousin in real quick because he probably has something to say, too, and I know how y'all love to agree and jump on me. What's up, cuz?
What's up, man? Hey, look, I had to say that the quality of the show is just taking a nosedive today. I don't know what the difference is. I don't know what the difference is. I mean, the show.
I think he just got muted. I think Michael just got muted for that disrespectful tone that he brought to my show. Now, Michael, I love you, but you're going to have to get this and watch your tone, son. Watch your tone, Tim. All right, cuz.
Oh, you know how to play with the buttons. Oh, Steve. I'm so proud of you. You know how to play with the butt. But I was just giving a shout out. You know, I wasn't implying that it was you. I mean, I was just saying. I don't. Anyway.
Go ahead.
Let me get to it. Look, I think Ray Allen going to Miami is a good move for him individually. You know, I think with him over there, and you got Battier, and you got that mob, and you got Shebron, and, you know, she's taking off her dress and stuff. You know, everything should be good. I think that's a good move, and I don't know. I'm not too – I mean, I'm sold on Dwight Howard's skill, but he he's still in stage three of the LeBron disease. You know what I mean? He still got some stuff to go through. I mean, he can't even carry a team, and you know he's supposed to be the dominant big man.
Well, he did take Orlando to the championship. They lost, but he did get them there.
Mm-hmm. He took them there. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, just like LeBron did. Only difference is LeBron left his team and went to another team to get another title. Now, I'm not saying that Dwight Howard is the most dominant big man in the game right now, although the numbers show that he might be. But when you put together him, Williams, and Joe Johnson, which is a good inside-outside group, and you sprinkle in a couple good players in there, he got a shot. Now, if you go over to the Lakers, Lakers got older, but they also got better. Steve Nash is a defensive pariah, meaning he's going to be a detriment. But offensively, him distributing the ball to Kobe or Paul Gasol or Andrew Bynum, I mean, that's a dangerous set of four players. But
Bynum's not going to be there if Dwight's there, dude. Bynum's not going to be there.
Dwight's not going to the Lakers. Because the reason why I say that is because when Orlando – you know, let Shaq go, where'd he go? Straight to the Lakers. And look what happened there. I understand that they want him out of the conference, but, I mean, Andrew Bynum is not worth the headache and the drama that he will bring to Orlando. It'll be just Dwight Howard all over again, in my opinion. It'll be Dwight Howard all
it'll
over
again. It'll be worse. It'll be worse.
It'll be worse. And, you know, I honestly think that he needs to stay in Lakerland and be 2 7-footers with Kobe and Nash penetrating, that's dangerous. Oklahoma needs to do something. That's what needs to happen. Oklahoma needs to make some moves. But bottom line to me is the East is getting thicker. I don't agree that, you know, Ray should go down there and expect to pull out another ring or whatever, but he'll fit in nicely. But, again, if Dwight ends up in Brooklyn, I think that threesome, along with a couple other parts, will be very formidable. Jerry, I know you had something to say about it before we go to the next topic.
No, you guys covered it. There's no need for me to regurgitate what was said, so
okay.
Go right ahead.
The only thing I would chime in is that even if he goes to Brooklyn, they have to learn how to play together, and Miami knows how to play together now. And even with Bosch, and, you know, banging up against, you know, Howard, the two differences are Wade and LeBron. And
exactly.
They can get to the basket regardless. You cannot stop them from getting to the basket. So, I mean, and Bosch could pull the white outside like he does. So they have to learn how to play together. And the scary thing is, like right now, the scary thing is that LeBron knows how to win now. He has discovered the Kobe edge. He has discovered the Michael edge. He has learned that I can do
that.
What Mike does. Now, I know he's.
Now, I agree with
that.
You. I agree with it. I saw it too.
Because OKC, he took those games from Oklahoma City. He took them. He took them. There's no reason that Oklahoma City should actually won this final. LeBron took those games, and Oklahoma City, unexperienced, let them lose those games. I'm telling you, they're going to be dangerous.
I agree that OKC gave those games away, but I think that if you put Williams, Johnson, and Howard together, it'll be a very, very, very difficult mountain for Miami to climb. But we got to move on, and I got a call from the 202. I'm going to get this caller in real quick before I move to Tiger Woods. Caller from the 202, welcome to Fantasy Sports Podcast. Please state your name.
This is Judas Shuttlesworth.
Wait a minute. Before anybody says anything, Black, your boy has a 3-game losing streak. That's all I got to say. 2 words, Steven Strasburg, 3-game losing streak.
Yeah, and I have 2 words for you. No, actually, I have 3 words for you. No, actually, I have 4 words for you.
Okay, make your mind
Who's
up.
Who's winning the division?
Just not remember, we still have R.A. Dickey, too. Remember that.
Okay.
I'm going to clear my throat and say that again. Who's winning the division?
Oh, Washington.
Thank you.
All right, check this out. Okay, I love the Nationals talk. We didn't talk to fans baseball, but I don't know if we're going to get to that today. We might do it tomorrow on Master. I don't know what Jerry has planned. But I want to thank, first of all, Jerry and Black, thanks for doing a show yesterday with Matt. It was a very good show. I got into tail end, and it shows by the numbers that folks really were digging it, and we'll see what happens next week. But let's move on to another guy that has some whole other issues, and he said, just like LeBron was on the cover of Spin Magazine saying, "Hi, haters," this guy pretty much did the same thing in a press conference, and now he's talking about how he performed at his latest golf tournament.
I had a great time. I mean, the people here have been absolutely fantastic. Very excited to have a tournament here, and you can see the people how excited they were. And it was a fun crowd to play in front of. Unfortunately, it was only for a couple of days.
Tiger Woods, y'all. Okay, Tiger, he didn't do as well as he wanted to do in the Masters, but he came right back the next event and won. And now people are saying it's not Tiger who, it's just when is Tiger going to be consistent? So I'll pose the question to you guys. Can Tiger Woods, at the age of 36, 37, push the barriers and become the dominant player again? By the way, congratulations to Serena Williams for winning Wimbledon. Can't wait to see she wears another wonderful outfit. But go ahead.
Yes.
Yes, no, maybe so. Anybody? Tiger Woods?
I actually had a chance to cover this tournament, but it's just so hot in Washington that I just told him I wouldn't be able to do it. I can't stand out there and watch 18 holes of golf just like that in the heat. But as far as Tiger goes, Tiger, I think he's going to come around. It's not going to be consistent as in his early years. He's going to have his spots here and there, but he'll be able to turn it around. He should be back in the top 10 soon.
Okay. Go ahead, Mike.
I agree with Black. You know, Tiger has an unstoppable talent. I mean, you can't deny that. You can't deny that, or, you know, persecuted or whatever. You know, whatever things that you throw at Tiger, he's gonna bounce back. He just has to learn how to. He just had to learn how to deal with it, and I think he's learned.
Okay. Mo?
Well, I believe that he will become and he'll return to be a dominant player. Now, what had to happen in his life is that he had to shake what was going on in his personal life. I don't care who you are. I don't care how focused you are. I don't care how dominant you are. When your personal life is not in order, everything else falls apart. So, with his personal life, you know, coming back to being in order and he's living how he wants to live, doesn't have to deal with the ex-wife, the money situation is situated, doesn't have to deal with the media, him being like super pimp-ho, you know, everyone knows who Tiger is. So now he can return back to focusing on his golf game and becoming dominant. The one thing that made Tiger dominant in the first place was not only his skill level, but he has that focus, like Jordan, like Kobe, you know, people that have that killer edge and focus. He can return back to that because there's nothing distracting him in life, you know, right now. So I look to see Tiger back up on top, and even whether he's not on top, it doesn't matter. He is golf. If that man said right now if he wanted to go and drive NASCAR, he'd get up, go drive NASCAR, and be dominant at that, and no one will watch golf. I mean, it's just, it really is, he is golf. So he'll be back, and I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Well, that's good insight. Go ahead, Jerry.
Well, I said it before, and I'll say it again when, after all the problems he had, Tiger needs the freak in his life to be what he was before. And I'll say it again, I still say it, until he gets that way again, and I don't think it's going to happen, he'll be just as he is now, inconsistent. He'll have his very good days, and he'll have his days where he explodes, and then he'll have in-between days. He'll be inconsistent because For whatever reason,
for
whatever reason, when he had the freak in him, is when he was at his best. He doesn't have that type of lifestyle now, and maybe he needs that type of lifestyle, but he's not going to have that anymore. So he's going to be inconsistent like he's been since he's got rid of all his distractions and settled down. That settled down is not what makes Tiger go. He needs the freakness in his life, and he doesn't have it. So he's going to be inconsistent like he's been for the last few years.
I got holes.
I
got holes in different area codes.
Tiger needs whole power. I agree with Jerry because I think, and I feel as though I'm the same way, except without the hoes and stuff like that. But he thrives under pressure. You know, he thrives under pressure, and he's more successful when he's got that, you know, so much stress on his back that it's like, okay, well, I can just, here it is, that, and do whatever it is I want to do. So I think that Jerry has a point there. Unfortunately, Tiger is coming up on that age where it becomes, well, the younger cats are going to step in and try to take his shine. They've already started a little bit, but hopefully he'll rise to the occasion and attack Jack's 16 Masters record. Hopefully he can get it. But that's enough about Tiger. It's time to get into something that we really, really love, all of us. It's game time, ladies and gentlemen, and that soundbite went really low. I didn't like that, but it is what it is. Amani Toomer.
Well, wait a minute. I got breaking news here. Breaking news. On 1:20 p.m., I got this news flash. I haven't gotten too much information on it, but this is going to be a surprise to all that are listening. The Houston Chronicle reports Adrian Peterson was arrested in Houston on Friday night for resisting arrest.
What?
You heard me straight. Adrian Peterson, according to the Houston Chronicle, was reported arrested on Friday night for resisting arrest.
He probably was like, I'm Adrian Peterson. You can't arrest me. And they was like, yeah, you in Texas, boy. And they did. So,
oh, God. They did a Cedric Benson to him. They did a Cedric Benson. Oh, Lord.
Well, do you see breaking news? Serena laying on the ground as they show her highlights and looking up her skirt. It's wonderful. Breaking news.
That would be breaking news. You're nasty, but I want to see that too. I can't right now because I got, you know. Anyway, that's good. That's good to know, Jerry, because I wasn't drafted AP anyway. But we'll see what happens with that, because when you go down to Texas and you get arrested and you're an athlete, certain things take place. But I'm not going to get into that. Let's talk about something that's near and dear to Jerry, to Black's heart, which is Tony Romo. Amani Toomer came out some time ago and said some derogatory things about Tony Romo. He's not backing down from him. Here's what he has to say about Romo.
My opinion is, if you take away all the fairy dust and pixel stuff about how Eli Manning is portrayed, I mean, he's a great quarterback. We've agreed upon that. But the fact that he's not as productive as Tony Romo, and that's all I'm saying. I love Eli.
Oh, I had the wrong one. But it's okay.
Nah, you played the right soundbite. Monty Toomer loves Tony Romo.
Whatever. Anyway, so do you guys think, since we're about to get on football, that Tony Romo... Now, let's set aside the Super Bowl ring. Let's set that aside, okay? Let's talk about production. Let's talk about production now.
Well...
Is Tony Romo more productive as far as numbers go than Eli Manning is?
Well, since you got me first, since I had started to interrupt you, which I didn't, but the point is this: you can't take away the rings for one. For one, you can't take away the rings. Eli's going against one of the best quarterbacks, a Hall of Fame quarterback, twice, and beat him twice. So you can't.
Oh boy.
So you can't take away that those numbers, Eli.
Oh boy.
Wait a minute. This past year, Eli has almost threw for almost 5,000 yards this year. Tony Romo is a very, very good quarterback, statistically wise, and in the regular season. When it comes to the playoffs, that's the horse of a different color. When it comes to Mr. Romo, I have to beg to differ. Tony Romo is a very good quarterback. Eli Manning is a very good quarterback. Eli Manning has definitely a better record in the playoffs compared to Tony Romo. Everybody knows that until Tony Romo is able to do something in the playoffs. Eli is a better quarterback, in my opinion.
Black? Eli Manning has the benefit of four front rushing defensive ends all along the front. I don't know if you watched the Super Bowl this year, but I watched the Super Bowl this year. They didn't have to bring any linebackers out there to get the Tom Brady. That Giants defense is I would say 93% responsible. Eli Manning's success. They get guys off the field, and they let Eli do his thing.
Well, last time I checked, Eli doesn't play defense. Eli plays on the offensive side.
Toss Tony Romo in that system up there with the Giants, with that same team, and see if Tony Romo is not sitting with two rings.
Fellas, that's why I don't want to talk about the rings. I want to talk about pure numbers, okay, stats, because statistically, well, Romo had one of his best years this year. So did Eli.
Okay.
Romo had a very good percentage of TDs versus interceptions, as well as pass receptions and things of that nature.
Okay.
So did Eli.
Okay.
But on the
Eli is supposed to do that. Eli was a first-round draft pick. He's supposed to do that.
Wait a minute. Check this out. Ask Tony Romo what happened against Detroit. Ask Tony Romo what happened against the Jets. Who lost those games? Who lost those games? Who threw stupid interceptions when you didn't have to throw them and lost those two games? And it wasn't the defense that caused them to lose those games. It was the offense that caused them to lose the games. And
the
main culprit of that was Tony Romo.
That's a valid point. Eli didn't have those types of mishaps this past year. He's been known to do stuff like that, but he's matured enough where it doesn't happen right now. So, Mike, what do you take? I know you hate the Cowboys just like I do, but let's take an objective point of view on this. Eli or Romo, who is the better quarterback?
I mean, if you take it, you know, if we go with the parameters that you set up, you know, you take the rings out, you put them head to head. I think both of them are just are good quarterbacks. I would give a slight, very slight edge to Romo when you take out the rings. But if you put him up mano a mano, I think Romo's a good quarterback. But I believe Eli's a very good quarterback. He just... you know, in the fourth quarter, you know, he seems to be clutch. You know, of course, when he plays against the Redskins, we just expect for him, you know, to throw us, you know, the gratuitous interception. And we look for at least two or three gratuitous sacks.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So I would have to give, if like I said, if we go with the parameters you set up, I would give a slight edge to Romo. But you take them both and put them side by side and tell me to pick. I'm picking Eli.
I'm going to chime in on this.
I want to chime in on this because is that we keep saying take out the rings. Now this is the problem with this situation is that when it comes down to the end of both of their careers, no one's taking out the rings.
Right.
No one's
taking out the ring. No one's going to take out the ring. When it comes
right.
down to voting, you know, who's going to be on the ballot for the Hall of Fame, no one's going to take out these rings. So So, yes, Romo is a great quarterback. He has fantastic numbers. He finished in the top, I think, what, the top five? With a quarterback rating of 116 or 120 or something around there. And Romo's, I think he's an awesome quarterback. But the problem and the difference is that Eli's a winner. And by Eli being a winner, they have two Super Bowls. Now, if they stayed on track right now, putting up the numbers they're putting up over the next 5 years, and Romo doesn't have a ring and Eli does, which one is going to end up in the Hall of Fame with two MVPs and two football rings and putting up 3,000 to 5,000 yards a season? Which one is going to end up in the Hall of Fame?
Eli.
That's Eli. Eli. So... I mean, Romo is a great quarterback, and two, it's the same thing. You gotta treat Romo just like you treat LeBron. Until you do this, we are not going to make you great. Until you
get
but
you know
home.
What? The thing about that though is.
Hey.
See, you gotta give Romo his respect and his credit because
the dude
just came out of nowhere. Now I give him his respect from there because like Black said, you know, Eli is expected to do that. You know, he's picked, you know what I mean, first round,
yeah.
Two draft picks, Manning last name, blah blah blah. You know what I mean? So we kind of expected this from him. So really, I don't really think we've seen the full potential of Eli just yet. But what I'm scared of with Romo is I don't know if we're seeing the full potential of him as well. Because, you know, he came, what, third, fourth round, fifth round?
To be honest with you, to give Black credit, it takes a football team to win a Super Bowl.
Right.
Team.
Yeah.
That means
right.
Offense. That means defense. That means special teams. It takes a team to win a Super Bowl. And
you got
to
get there first.
I looked at statistically last year. Romo did wonders with that squad. The Eagles were supposed to win that daggone Super Bowl, if everybody remembers. The Eagles had a squad, if everybody remembers. You know, they're supposed to roll over everybody. I said from day one last year, the two most dangerous teams in this NFL are the 49ers, and if Stafford gets healthy, or the Lions. You know, they have their shots. And Eli knocked, you know, San Fran out the box. You know, I mean, so they should have won the Super Bowl. They should have had their shot up against Brady. But that man beat Brady twice. That man beat Shirt Brady twice. That man
exactly.
beat Brady. That man beat Brady on an 18-0 run. You understand that? On an 18-0 run.
Well, he had a little help. He had a little help with a couple of catches.
Of course, he had help. It's a football team.
I know.
This is not tennis.
I got that. And I don't want to dwell too much in on this subject because we got to go to the AFC West and the AFC North, but. I think both of them are very comparable to each other. It just so happens that, and Black makes the point, and so did you, Mo, that the team is what made Eli, Eli, as far as the numbers go. Eli is as gifted as Tony Romo, and Tony Romo is just as gifted as Eli. I think Eli makes better decisions with the ball than Romo, but the team cohesion of the New York Giants is three times, if not more, of that than the Dallas Cowboys. That is the problem with the Cowboys. Romo is a talent. You put him on San Francisco, they defeat the Giants, and they go to the Super Bowl.
Wait a minute.
But when you put him on a dysfunctional team like the Cowboys, you get what you get.
You know,
it's not all his fault, but...
I
like both quarterbacks. Go ahead. Last thing on this subject.
Well, I like, and I forget who made the analogy of Romo compared to LeBron. Now, making all these excuses for Romo, when push comes to shove and when you need to a performance in the clutch, Mr. Romo, time and time in and time out, has not performed. Not
right.
Like Tony Romo, but compared to LeBron, everybody's lambasting LeBron that he doesn't perform in a clutch moment. Well, the same can be said for Mr. Romo. He's not performed in the clutch moment and caused his team several times, just like LeBron won't take that last shot or gives it to someone else. Tony Romo throws a inadvertent interception or a fumble or something like that his team needs him to perform. So if you're going to hold a player like LeBron to that type of standard, you got to hold Tony Romo to the same type of standard, because I think they're the same guys in a different sport.
I want winners.
Yeah, but that's pretty much it. Everybody wants winners. Now, we're going to move on, and I thank you guys for that topic, but we got to definitely get into these two divisions because I got a lot of stuff to read and a lot of information. We're about to get into the AFC North fantasy breakdown time, fellas, and Black, I'm put it here on the air. I want in on the league. I promise you I'm not going to be as demonstrative unless I'm provoked as you feel. I even told Jerry on the last show that we do to break it down in the division, I want that individual to come on the show and be a part of the show. So you can reach that olive branch out there for me, Judas. Do that for me, Judas.
Oh, man.
What did I do, Judas? Well, you said you were Judas when you came on.
Judas
Shuttlesworth. Yeah, you said you're Judas Shuttlesworth. So I love it, but you know, Judas kicked Jesus out the league last year, and I didn't do anything, but I took my punishment. I was crucified for no reason, Caesar. So, you know, now I want to return. Can I return? I'm just putting it out there. I love you, bro. I love you. All right.
Y'all forgot all about me last year in the league, so I'm I get the defensive black light. Y'all, I don't know what league you're talking about, because Black should be back this year. Derek Boa. I forgot about Derek's year. No, I won in.
All right, well, you got to have some money for some of these other leagues. But let's get to the AFC North. Now, listen, what I'm about to read from is Sports Illustrated's 2012 fantasy football analysis. And these are opposing coaches in the division of these teams making these statements. These are not my words. These are words from Sports Illustrated. We're going to talk about the Baltimore Ravens first. It's called Enemy Lines, What a Rival Coach Says. For this offense to have success, they need to be able to run the ball. Quarterback Joe Flacco regressed last year, and I think part of that was because the defensive pressure got to him. He's not a player who can just drop back and beat you with his arm. He needs a successful running game to open things up. I would be shocked if he had a breakthrough season. You know who is going to have a breakthrough season? Receiver Torrey Smith. That dude is fast. He ran by us a few times. He doesn't have many routes in his tree, but he'll be a more polished receiver now. And that's had a full offseason. Anquan Boldin is starting to show some age. He was never fast in his heyday, but he was able to get separation from defensive backs with his body. He doesn't do that as well now. I bet his numbers go down again. The team got Jacoby Jones, formerly of the Texans. Don't expect him to play much on offense. He's a return guy. The tight ends Ed Dixon and Dennis Peter have come on a lot. I like Dixon better. He's faster, but they're similar. Both can line up anywhere, and both need to improve at the point of attack. What more can I say about Ray Rice? The guy gets 350 touches a year. I don't know how the little guy does it, but don't be surprised if the coaches try to limit the pounding on him and give more snaps to Anthony Allen or rookie Bernard Pierce. And watch out for Pierce. He has a future in this league. Get and want to forget. The sleeper for this team is Dennis Peter. Many will be fooled by the official depth chart and draft Eric Dixon. But Peter was the top tight end in the team's final three games of 2011. Van Coen Bolden skills diminishing, Peter fills the need for a pass catcher over the middle. A bust. They say Anquan Boldin will be a bust. This is not the Bolden of old. His production has slipped over the past two seasons. And second-year receiver Torrey Smith with tight end Dennis Peter and Ed Dixon are ready for larger roles. steer clear of Anquan Boldin. Before I get into the schedule, I want to get some reaction from you guys about what an opposing coach said about this team that's in that division. We're going to start with Black, Jerry, Mo, then Mike. Black? Black's not talking.
Black
Mo.
Is not
there. He's Black here. He's here. He's just not talking.
Put you on hold. I'm doing something.
Okay. Go ahead, Mo.
Okay. I think it's wild that an opposing coach and the information era will discuss that much about an opposing team. Worry about your own damn team. It's worried about what is on that's coming into your camp and what you're dealing with. Why are you discussing Joe Flacco? What he's going to do? And what he's not going to do? Didn't the Ravens have back onto the Super Bowl last year? Did they lose by a field goal or something like that? Come on. It wasn't a spectacular year for Flacco, but they did almost go to the Super Bowl. So, if I was a head coach and you're running your mouth to Sports Illustrated, whoever, about this squad, we might have some words. Because the only thing I need to be focusing on is who you're coaching on this squad. I think that's absurd. It's a waste of time. Why would you? It's unprofessional. It's a waste of time to sit there and go, Joe Flacco did this, it's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Wait,
you don't know what kind
of,
you don't know. And I'm saying, you don't know what they're going to step out and do this year. Only thing you could be concerned about is what you're going to do. The only people that can control your actions are your own. That's it. Can't worry about anybody else. They come out and dominate the whole damn league. You don't
all
know.
Right.
That's football. So that's my opinion. I think that coach should be like stuck a foot up his butt for real. If I was in the front office, we would have a problem. If I was in the front office, we would have a problem.
Go ahead, Jerry. Real quick.
Well, I said last year, and I think it's a growing trend because the coach up in New England started it. These two tight ends are going to be used quite a bit in the passing game, and Joe Flacco likes to throw to the tight ends. Anquan Boldin is on the downside, and he hasn't been that quick, and he wasn't that good last year. He had his moments, but he wasn't that good this year. Torrey Smith is going to be a breakout. I think he's going to have a good year. Joe Flacco's got a big arm, so he's going to use Torrey Smith a little more. He's going to be a little more seasoned for the second year. Ray Rice is the key. Baltimore Ravens thrive on running the ball and throwing deep or intermediate to the tight ends. Ray Rice is the key on signing him. They're going to use him like they used him before. If they get him into camp, if he holds out, then as all running backs who hold out have problems, and that's going to suffer on the defensive side. Joe Flacco is Joe Flacco. I don't think he's going to get any better or worse than he's always been. I think he's pretty much plateaued. What you see is what you get with Joe Flacco. That's why I think they're balking on a contract with him. So
okay.
We'll just have to wait and see what happens from there.
Not a problem. If Ray Rice comes in, he'll come in, but he'll probably be a little bit late to camp if they don't pay him, so I don't know. But again, depending on what happens with Ray Rice, depends on what happens with the Ravens. That defense is older, but it's still good. It's still one of the best defenses in the NFL, so I think it'll be okay. Mike, did you have something you want to say real quick before I go into the schedule? No, he's got us on hold. Okay, and I think we have Black back. Black, do you have anything you want to say about the Ravens before I go through the schedule?
No, go ahead. Everything just blacked out on me, but I'm back in here now.
All right. Well, this is the way the Baltimore Ravens schedule goes, and what I want you guys to give me wins and losses.
Even though I do hope to see the return of Sergio Kendall.
Sergio Kendall, okay. Where do I remember that name from? I can't remember.
The number, I don't know if it was number 5 or number 8, but the defensive end from Texas. That's where you remember him from.
Okay.
cracked the skull.
Yep.
Oh, I got you, Pippen. I follow. What I want right now is a win-loss from all of you total for the Baltimore Ravens. I'm going to go down the schedule. So I hope you're listening. I hope you're taking notes. Cincinnati, at Philly, home for New England, Cleveland, at Kansas City, home for Dallas, at Houston, they have a bye week. At Cleveland, home for Oakland, at Pittsburgh, at San Diego, home for Pittsburgh, at Washington, home for Denver, home for New York, and finishing at Cincinnati. JT Taylor.
Yeah.
Wins and losses, Ravens this year.
Oh, God. That hit me first. Let me see here. Baltimore Ravens. Playing the NFC West also. And the NFC East. I think the Baltimore Ravens will be 10-6.
10-6. I got them at 8-8. But.
Oh.
All right, Black, what you got?
Oh, I got 11-5.
11-5. Okay. Mo?
With Ray Rice, 11-5. You know, they gotta have Ray.
Okay.
I think, you know, they quietly always have like those kind of seasons, you know, and I think they'll be 11-5.
All right, Mike, if you're back.
I don't think he's back.
Okay. Personally, the reason why I give them 8-8 is because I think they have a harder schedule than people think. I think teams would be a lot better. And with the contractual situation, Joe Flacco wants to go out and prove he's worth the money. So he's going to probably try to put the ball in the air more so than he needs to. And Ray Rice wants more money. So he's not going to play as hard as he could because he doesn't want to end up like Matt Forte, playing completely hard, getting hosed, and not getting the money he deserves. So I think the defense will do well, but you're going to see some struggles on offense. And Tyrod Taylor is the backup to Joe Flacco. So there you go. If something happens to Flacco, Tyrod Taylor comes in. And I don't think that's a good mix for Baltimore.
They have a very tough schedule after their bye.
Correct.
After their bye week, it gets pretty tough for them. They got to go at Cleveland, go to Oakland, then they go.
Wait a minute.
Then they go at Pittsburgh. After Pittsburgh, then they go at San Diego. So they play a division rival at Pittsburgh, and then they go to the West Coast to play at San Diego. Then they come back and play Pittsburgh again. Then they go to at Washington. Then they play Denver. Then they play New York, and then at the division rival at Cincinnati. That's a pretty tough after their bye week. That's a pretty tough run.
It's a tough schedule. That's a tough run, but that's the Baltimore Ravens. They're a hard nosed, built football team. They play the Steelers twice. Anyone who plays the Steelers twice and can bang with the Steelers twice with that hard nosed football attitude, I put the Ravens up against anybody. They quietly every year have 10-6 seasons, 11-9 seasons every freaking year. Quietly.
Yeah, but the problem, freaking year. Mo, the problem is now they're not so quiet. Their quarterback and their star running back want to be paid because all the money's on defense. Now, they don't want an issue to happen with their health. So they're not going to go out, in my opinion, just in my opinion, I don't think they're going to go out and be a rock'em sock'em Ravens and risk missing out on a big payday. Flacco's done after this year.
You cannot play on a football team. You cannot play on a football team with Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and Omilata and not play rock'em sock'em football.
They don't care about the money thing.
Because they're paid right now. Ray Rice. I know they want more money. What I'm saying is that you cannot be in that locker room with Ray Lewis.
No, you can't.
No, you can't.
Ray Lewis did it himself. Ray Lewis did it himself.
Ray Lewis never pushed the season.
What I'm saying is, when he was going through his contractual stuff, he went through the same thing. He gave 110%, and they ended up finally re-signing him like at the last minute of the signing period. He still went out in the fall.
You cannot as a football player, you cannot be in a locker room with those men and know what they put on the line. They know your money situation. They know what you want, but not come out and go 1,000%. You can't do that because
they know. Ray Lewis knows that the running backs aren't getting paid. After they get one contract, they're done. Running backs
become a dime a dozen.
But that's what I'm saying. You're not gonna find Ray Rice.
That's the league, man.
You're not gonna find Ray Rice
right now.
But
he's still the league, though.
But the point is that it's not gonna happen that way, okay? I mean, we'll see. This is my opinion. Let's move to Cincinnati real quick, okay? Again, these are the words of an opposing coach from that division.
Lord.
This offense is scary good because Cincinnati's best players are its youngest players. The Bengals are going to run the football first, as they always have. Signing Ben Jarvis Green Ellis made a great deal of sense for them. He understands the value of a 4-yard run. I don't think he's going to have a 1,200-yard rushing season, but I know he's going to have a really good year. He'll lead the team in rushing and rushing touchdowns. Brian Leonard and Bernard Scott are not every down backs. Leonard is more of a third down guy who's used more in the red zone than the other backs because of his ability to pass block. The Bengals may not have the ideal quarterback in Andy Dalton, but what they do have is a football player. The leader of guys rarely around. Dalton will improve in his second year. Shoot, he was a Pro Bowler last season. A.J. Green is one of the most physically dominant receivers in the league. He's big and fast, has great ball skills, and is an excellent blocker. His numbers will be better than last year, but not much better because they were already pretty good. If Jordan Shipley is healthy, he will be the number two receiver early in the year. But I know that the coaches are really excited about the rookie receiver, Mohamed Sanu and Marvin Jones. They'll get more reps as the season goes on. Jermaine Gresham has great upside and continues to get better. Sleeper, I don't believe this is a sleeper, but they say Andy Dalton. Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, Mohamed Sanu will be undervalued, but not as much as Dalton. In his second year, improvement seems certain, especially with more receiving weapons. The price will be right. Plus, Jordan Shipley, when a young improving offense like the Bengals, there isn't a clear bust candidate. Shipley most likely fits the mold because the status of his knee is uncertain and the team drafted two receivers. So, avoid Jordan Shipley, ladies and gentlemen, according to SI. Now, I'm going to read two responses from that read, and I want Black and Jerry, real quick.
Give me that schedule. I want that schedule.
Okay, let me get feedback on what the coach had to say about the team first. Jerry.
Just an exciting young team. They got good pieces. I don't believe in Ben Jarvis Green Ellis quite yet. I have to wait and see what he does. I don't believe he's going to be the end-all, the be-all on that team for the running back. I think they're going to be doing a running back by committee. So,
yeah, they are.
They're probably going to be relying more on their passing game, like a lot of young teams that were successful last year, especially this team, where their quarterback and their wide receiver, A.J. Green, got a lot of notoriety. So I think they're going to try to cash in on that, which is going to be a detriment to them. So I like the team, but I don't think they're going to be a playoff team. So.
Okay. All right, Black, here's your schedule. Here we go. At Baltimore, Cleveland, at Washington, at Jacksonville, Miami, at Cleveland, Pittsburgh, then have a bye week. Denver, Giants, at Kansas City, Oakland, at San Diego, Dallas, at Philly, at Pittsburgh, at and home for Baltimore. That is a murderous December.
That's
all
is
I
a
got
murder
say.
Schedule. They're doomed. They're doomed.
I'm glad.
Well, let me start off by saying I'm a fan of the redheaded guy, Andy Dalton.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of Conan O'Brien out there at quarterback.
Oh, what? My God.
With that schedule you just read down, oh, man, I hate to give the Cincinnati this, but I see 7-9, maybe 8-8.
And Marvin Lewis out the door?
Marvin Lewis? Well, no, I think Marvin is golden.
Okay.
I think he's golden. I don't know what he has over the GMs. He might have some type of sex tape kept away in his closet. I think he's golden there in Cincinnati.
Hi, Jerry Taylor.
Marvin has the right price tag. He's cheap. The Browns don't have to pay him that much. That's why he's still there.
The Bengals.
Anyway. Mm-hmm.
Bengals.
I'm sorry, the Bengals, right.
And he's eating in my ear. Man, you can't get a record on Cincinnati.
Wait a minute. I'm not eating. Hold on a minute here. I think
I don't know what you got in your mouth.
I was agreeing with Black. I think it's 7-9. I'm seeing 6-10. Somewhere around there, that's where I see the Bengals. They got a tough schedule. They're going to give up a lot of teams a fight, but that's a lot to overcome. The schedule's a lot to overcome. I think they are not, like I said, they're not going to make the playoffs. 6-10, 7-9.
Okay. I'm going with six and ten, and I'm gonna tell you, it's a shame. The defense is vicious. They balled out last year. They balled out, but with that schedule, man, I don't even know why they coming to play this year. It's like, why'd y'all do that?
Wow,
man! it's cold blooded and wrong what they did on that schedule to Cincinnati. So I don't see them playing in the playoffs. I think they'd be upside down, like 6-10. It's just too tough.
So
they have a lot of talent. They have a lot of talent, and I love Marvin Lewis, but you know that's just. I mean, like the first five games are like, are you serious? Like, wow.
Yeah, I think Conan O'Brien is going to have a good year, though.
Yeah, he might, because they're going to have to throw a lot. But we'll see what happens up there. Cincinnati has a murderous schedule, in my opinion. I believe on that same side, 7-9, 6-10. I actually think they're going to be the last team in the AFC North. And, yes, I'm putting Cleveland above them.
Those last five weeks are murderous, man.
Yes, they are. That's what I said.
At San Diego, a home against Dallas, then two games at Philly, at Pittsburgh, and then home against Baltimore. Wow.
Dude, you can go back to November. They got to play Peyton Manning.
Right.
Then they got to play Eli Manning.
Right.
Kansas City isn't that bad. It depends on how Castle does.
Well, playing at Kansas City is tough.
Yeah, playing at Kansas City is tough.
Mm-hmm.
And then Oakland. Oakland's not going to be that bad, but we'll get to them later. So, you know, their last 2 months is going to be terrible. Mike, are you ready to talk? Yes, no, maybe so? No.
It's not back yet.
All right. So I think we're on agreement that Cincinnati's going to have a very rough year this year. You might want to steer clear of some of their players fantasy-wise. Dalton and A.J. Green will be the only two people I really would draft. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis will probably get picked up, but I see him as a number three running back, in my opinion. That's just me. Let's move on to Cleveland, the Browns. All right, the Browns play AFC North-style football. They're big, they're physical, they play great defense, and they try to run the ball. Trent Richardson is exactly what this team needed. He's a tough, nasty runner. Running backs can make the transition from college to the pros more easily than other players. He'll be the lead back, and I think he'll have a good year. Quarterback competition, and I think it will be a legitimate competition and not just lip service, will be good for this team. No matter if rookie Brandon Whedon, who I like, or Colt McCoy wins the job. I wouldn't be surprised if Whedon is a starter in week one. He's the pure passer, but there are always growing pains with players who come from college spread offenses. McCoy is a tough player. Greg Little is the receiver on this team who becomes special. He has great skill and talent, but he has taken some time to catch on to what the coaches want to, what the coaches want to teach him. Mohamed Mansukwa is a good player, but doesn't have any really noteworthy traits. He's not a burner. He's not a giant. Josh Cribbs is a dangerous every time he touches the ball player, but he doesn't touch it a lot on offense. Tight end Evan Moore is not a great inline blocker, but he's a tough matchup in the red zone. He'll score more than Ben Watson. When the Browns want to do some heavy lifting in the running game, they'll turn to Watson. Sleeper is Evan Moore. Ben Watson may technically be the starter, but Moore is the better option. A receiver in college, he is one of the few real receiving threats on the roster, and he's a viable red zone threat. Bust alert, and I don't agree with it, but this is what they have. Brandon Weeden. Whatever your expectations are of Weeden this year, lower them. QBs from passing spread systems generally struggle as rookies see Blaine Gabbert. And Weeden had better receivers at Oklahoma State. I kind of agree with this. So, Mo, give me a breakdown of what Cleveland had to say.
Well, I mean, Weeden being the rookie quarterback, I do like Brandon Weeden. I think the Browns are going to have, I mean, they're in a tough division. And I think, you know, with a rookie quarterback, they're going to have a tough way to go. They do need to give Josh Cribbs the ball more. I don't understand, like, I really don't understand the philosophy behind your most electrifying player who touches the ball, gives you the most options to score. You don't give him the ball during offense. I don't care if you got to reverse him. I don't care if you got to do zero bubble screens. I don't care what you have to do, but you got to get that man the ball. Now Leonard being gone, I'm a little, you know, the running game, I don't know where it's going to be this year. But this is going to be an overall tough year for the Browns because, again, you're starting off with a rookie quarterback in a really rough division. You know, when you have the Ravens in your division and Pittsburgh in your division and you're kind of doing a reset, then you got some problems. That's right. And I don't even know what the schedule looks like, but I just still think it's going to be rough.
I'm about to go break it down. I actually think Cleveland's going to do pretty well. I think Weeden is going to have some. I think Weeden's going to do. He's going to have his growing pains. He's not going to be the rookie of the year. He's not going to be. Shut up. He's not going to be that great. But I think with the fact that Trent Richardson is going to run the ball and take some pressure off of him, that means Greg Little is going to be able to get open. The problem is, after Greg Little, Mansukwa is not the answer. Just like the article said, Joshua Cribbs needs to touch the ball more. And Evan Moore is going to get some love. So we'll see what happens with that. But let's break it down, okay? First, I'm going to go to the depth chart. Brandon Weeden, then Colt McCoy. Trent Richardson, then Montario Hardesty, Brandon Jackson, Chris Obaganaya. And third down back is Brandon Jackson. The goal linebacker is Trent Richardson. Greg Little, Mohamed Mansukwa, Joshua Cribbs, Travis Benjamin are your receivers. Evan Moore, Ben Watson, and Phil Dawson. Well, Dawson is their kicker, of course. Here's their schedule. And it's, even though they play some of the same teams in Cincinnati, it doesn't seem as rough. Philly.
Are you serious? Run this schedule down. This is a rough schedule.
I'm about to. Philly, at Cincinnati, Buffalo, at Baltimore, at the Giants, Cincinnati, at Indianapolis, San Diego, Baltimore, bye week, at Dallas, Pittsburgh, at Oakland, Kansas City, Washington, at Denver, at Pittsburgh.
Fuck.
Listen. I know it's going to be terrible for them, but I see them, again, 7-9. I see them just above. I see them either tied or just above Cincinnati. I honestly think they're going to come out and shock Cincinnati in that second game of the season. They're going to be first, I think they're going to lose to Philly, but they're going to come back and win against Cincinnati and Buffalo. I honestly think that. They'll also be Indianapolis. They'll beat Indianapolis, and in a surprise, they'll beat San Diego.
Ain't happening. Will and not
happening.
Happen.
Not
Will
happening.
Not happen.
Happening.
Will not happen.
In a surprise.
What have you been smoking? What have you been smoking? What have you been smoking?
It's in the dog pound. That's why I'm giving them the edge.
I don't care where it is. Weed is not being Philip Rivers.
Also, I think
what have you been smoking? Please tell me.
You know he's in California now.
Yeah, I know that. That's exactly why I'm asking. What have you been smoking? You hooked up with somebody that quick? Oh my god!
Oh my god! Dude, are you shut your potty mouth? All
right,
so
I'm
going to
throw it out there right now. 5-11.
5-11. 5-11. Okay. 5-11. What you got?
I'm giving them five. I'm giving them five. They ain't gonna hurt me. I'm giving them five.
Thank you. Because the fact is. And I hope you're keeping track of these because I think I'm going to be right on maybe one or two games off. I think what I'm seeing in this schedule, 3-13. That's what I'm seeing, 3-13.
Steak.
Wow.
The schedule's too hard for their team.
You got that quarterback. I told you before when they drafted him, I do not think that much of that quarterback. I still don't think too much of that quarterback. I think Colt McCoy may take over for this guy because I don't think he's going to be all that, even though he's the older of the quarterbacks that got drafted. I don't believe in Brandon Whedon. I think there's going to be a learning curve that's going to be severe for him, especially in that division and especially for the teams that are playing. He's playing Michael Vick. He's playing Joe Flacco, Eli Manning, who else is he playing?
Okay.
Philip Rivers, Tony Romo, Tony Romo, Ben Roethlisberger, Carson Palmer,
RG3,
Peyton Manning. You got to be kidding me.
But listen.
You got to be kidding me.
They have to stop Trent Richardson as well. You forget about that part. If Trent Richardson
wait a minute. Vic,
that's one
Vic,
player.
Vic,
one
understand
player.
What's going on here. They know for a fact. They know for a fact. That this quarterback, a rookie quarterback, is going to rely on the running game. So they're going to put eight men in the box, and say, Trent Richardson tried to beat us because even though Brandon Whedon can throw the ball, even if he gets the ball out, who is a capable wide receiver on Cleveland that scares people? Nobody.
Nobody scares him, but Greg Little has the potential to be that big-time player. He is. I'm the word.
Potential. He doesn't win football games in
the
NFL.
He's the same body. He's the same body type as Blackman. Blackman has a little better skill set, but Little has the potential to be his Blackman. I'm telling you.
Okay.
I will give them a better record. If they start with Colt McCoy, I'll give them a better record. He's scrappy and he's tough. I'd rather go with Colt.
Let me get Black.
I think of Brandon Whedon. How about Blaine Gabbert? Same type of quarterback.
Well, it's okay. I think Whedon's better, but okay. Go ahead, Black.
Well, when you ran down the depth chart, I was waiting for you to call off LeBron James' name. I realized that dream was over for Cleveland.
And I'm
give them 4-12. One of those wins coming in the bye week.
It's all good. Hey, dude, Cleveland is not going to be that bad, but they're going to be bad. So, but we'll say,
hey, give them
the
first two or three picks in the draft. It's a wrap. This season's done.
Wow, such hate in the building. All right, let's move down to Pittsburgh. The Steelers added two offensive linemen early in the draft who will step in and immediately make this offense better. Because of improved protection, Ben Roethlisberger should have an awful good year. The line play was the one thing keeping him from reaching the elite level that he's been at before. Mike Wallace is a top five receiver in the NFL. He has the ability to stretch the field, catch the ball in tight spaces, and go across the middle. It would surprise me if he caught 100 balls this year. Antoine Brown is not the passing game's first option because Wallace is playing so well, but Brown is a pretty good second option. He will be a true number one receiver on 20 other teams. He's extremely quick. Anytime you get him the ball underneath, he can take it the distance. He's not a threat in the red zone because he's not that big, but he's getting better and better. The third receiver, Emmanuel Sanders, will pick up the catches that Hines Ward retired leaves behind.
I say Sanders gets 50 balls. I don't notice any drop off with Ethan Miller. He's a renaissance tight end who doesn't have big numbers, but does everything well. It's a stretch to think that Rashad Mendenhall will be ready early in the year. Instead, Isaac Redman will be the team's feature runner. He's a big back who plays like a big back. If he gets 200 carries, he may end up with 1,000 yards rushing. I don't think so. Big Ben is a sleeper, which I don't believe is a good pick there, because Ben is not a sleeper in my book. But, hey, add this up. One injured starting running back plus two high draft picks, upgraded offensive line, plus two 1,000-yard receivers equal a big season for Big Ben. We easily approach his fantasy fantastic 2009 stat line. No big bust here. Rashad Mendenhall. Granted, the expectations on Mendenhall, whose recovery from torn ACL and push his return to midseason are low, but someone in your draft will take him, thinking he'll be good by November. Don't be that guy. All right. You know the normal cast of characters, so I'm not going to go down their depth chart, even though Jericho Cotchery is listed as the number four receiver. So it is what it is. Let's go down their schedule. At Denver, Jets, at Oakland, they have the all-dreaded bye week in week number four. It's going to suck for them. Philly, at Tennessee, at Cincinnati, home for Washington, at the Giants, home for KC, home for Baltimore, at Cleveland, at Baltimore, home for San Diego, at Dallas, home for Cincy, and home for Cleveland. Pittsburgh goes, I want to say 10-6 or 11-5, in my opinion. Let's go, Black. What you got?
I'm going 9-7, 10-6.
Okay, Mo.
I'm going to say 10-6. They are the most scariest team in the NFL. Because it doesn't matter, I don't know what they do, but they just seem to win. Jesus. They scare me. So, Big Ben, okay. Freaking Troy Polamalu, I say 10-6. Hell, they probably going to beat the Redskins, goddamn it.
Yeah, probably. But we'll see. We'll see. What you got, old time?
That is not a probably. That is a certain.
They're going to beat Dallas, too. Shut up.
They're going to crush Dallas. Go ahead.
They're going to beat Dallas. They're going to beat some Dallas. All right, go ahead.
I got them 11-5. I think that's a solid 11-5 here.
Yeah, I agree.
So I do believe the schedule they have, they have a strong shot to be 11-5.
Okay. I agree with you. Let's move on to the AFC West. And we're going to start off with the Norville Turner team. Nothing will change with the Chargers' offensive philosophy while Norv Turner is coach.
They suck.
He's going to pass first and run second, regardless of what he may say. Because of that, the Rivers will have another River-type season, but nothing special. He'll miss Vincent Jackson, and remember, the pass protection was terrible early last year and didn't get better in the offseason. Malcolm Floyd will take over Jackson's spot as the number one receiver. Rivers believes in him. Robert Meacham will stretch the field and be the home run threat, but it will take time for Rivers to trust him, so the production might not be there right away. Vincent Brown will have more of Rivers' trust now that he's in the second year, but he's more of a slot guy than a speedster, and he'll battle with Eddie Royal for the slot role. I like Royal to win the job. That's where he did his damage in Denver. Rivers also is comfortable throwing to Antonio Gates, of course. If Gates can avoid re-injuring that foot and stay on the field, his numbers will be as good as they have been. That's a big if. Ryan Matthews will have a breakout year. He was coming around at the end of last season. The problem with him is that he's injury-prone, and he fumbles. He has fumbling issues. They'll miss Mike Tolbert. LeRon McClain doesn't give the Chargers the running dimension off the bench. He's more of a blocking fullback. Sleeper, Malcolm Floyd. Robert Meacham will be the popular fantasy receiver based on his success in New Orleans, but Floyd is the better pick. Meacham may be a Drew Brees creation, while Floyd already has a connection with Phillip Rivers. But Antonio Gates, he's a surefire Hall of Famer, but Gates hasn't played a full season since 2009 because of an injured foot, and he's now 32. proliferation of tight ends today, there are much safer options at the position to consider. Take it, Jerry.
Take what'd you say now?
I said, oh, do you want me to? Yeah, I said, go ahead and take it.
Well, I mean, San Diego. I mean, the last couple of years, their habit is starting off slow and then scrambling, trying to make the playoffs. this is a make or break year for North Turner and Phillip Rivers. This is probably the last year if these guys don't make the playoffs and do make some noise in the playoffs. That North Turner, I hate North Turner. I've said it more than once that I think
ooh.
I don't know how he gets a job, but as a head coach, but I think it's all coming to light that he's not a head coach material. He's an offensive coordinator who he's very good at being that. I'd be surprised if the San Diego Chargers make any noise this year. I mean, this is going to be a very competitive division. A lot of teams are basically on even keel with each other, and San Diego may struggle to win, even in its own division.
Okay. Mike, I see you're back.
Yeah. What team you talking about now? You talking about the Chargers?
Right.
Yep.
I might agree with Jerry. This is going to be the last year for old Crinkle Face himself. He's going to have to do something with his little all shucksness. Phillip Rivers, you know, it's interesting. He's very interesting to me because he wasn't the best player drafted that year when he got drafted, you know. And nor is he better than the dude that they traded that had the job before him. So he's very interesting to watch, you know, for me. Because, you know, I like to see him excel and stuff like that, but I'm not sold on him. I'm getting not to be sold on him because Drew got a ring, Eli got two. I mean, what's going on? San Diego's got everything what they need out there, except for maybe a head coach, but he should be able to pull it through. But I'm not feeling that.
I'm looking at.
I think Donald Butler is gonna have a good year this year. You know, he was hurt last year, whatever. You know what I'm saying? But I think he's gonna step up and come through this year.
As far as the linebackers, that might be a good IDP right there. Matter of fact, we haven't talked about IDPs, but I'll get to that when we do different divisions. But let's go over the schedule real quick. And again, we're going just wins and losses here. At Oakland, Tennessee, Atlanta, at Kansas City, at New Orleans, Denver, they have a bye week, at Cleveland, Kansas City, at Tampa Bay, at Denver, Baltimore, Cincinnati, at Pittsburgh, Carolina, at the Jets, and finishing with Oakland. Wins and losses, gentlemen. Let's go, Mo.
I'm going with, I say 7-9. This schedule is not that bad. I mean, I think it's not that bad. But like some of those teams, like when you're like, the Oakland games are toss-ups for me. The KC games are toss-ups for me. Now when you're talking about like Carolina loss, you're talking about there's some games out to Pittsburgh. There's a loss. I mean, there's some games out there that are just losses. I think their time has already passed. That they should have had two Super Bowls already with that squad that they had over the past decade. They should have just been dominant. But North Turner could not get them over the hump, and that's where the mistake was made. I think they should have kept Schottenheimer back in the day, made a probably one of them Super Bowl by now. I don't have anything against Rivers. He's a beast. That dude's a fighter. He's scrappy. He puts up big numbers. They should have did everything they could to keep Vincent Jackson, and they just way too late to restructure their squad. Gates is age. I mean, 32 is not old, but that squad is starting to age. And you know, when you replace, you know, you don't when you have a production back like LaDainian Thompson and can't replace that, you know, it's just they haven't replaced that yet, then you're going to fall off. They just, I don't, you know, I'm going with 7. Even though they're in a weaker division, like everybody's pretty even kill, they still probably may win the division, but Oakland is kind of good. I think they're going to, you know, give them a run for the money. So,
all right. Now, again, I just need records. I'm running out of time. I love you. But 10-6, what you got?
Who are you talking to?
I forgot what Mo said his record for them was going to be.
7-9.
7-9. Oh, 7-9? All right, 6-10. Black. So Mike says 6-10. Black, what you got?
This is the Junior Seau push for the season. We're going San Diego 9-7. And my man Novell Turner, like Marvin Lewis of Cincinnati, also has a sex tape on the owners there in San Diego, so his job will also be safe.
Oh, boy.
All right, Jerry.
8-8.
Wow. I'm going to talk to you about that off the air. But I say 10, I mean, I say around that 8-8 as well, and Norval Turner will be fired by next season. I think that's going to happen. I don't see them defeating a lot of the teams that folks think. We got 4 minutes left alive there and 3 teams to go through. So we're going to go to overtime slightly, but not too much because I have a house I have to go look at. Real quickly, Oakland Raiders. The key for this team is the new offense will be to establish the running game. If Darren McFadden can come back and be the player that he was a couple of years ago, the offense has a chance to score. But McFadden's greatest strength is the greatest weakness. The guy runs so hard, he's subject to his body to a lot of hits. How many games can he give now? One of their other backs, Tywan Jones or Mike Goodson, has to step up, and neither have proved he can be a number two running back. Marcel Reese is a dark horse in this offense. He's a fullback who can be flexed out. If a tight end doesn't emerge, Reese can be used in much the same way as a tight end and with his blocking and receiving ability. Carson Palmer is no longer a quarterback who can march the ball down the field and beat you. You have to rely on a good running game to be effective. All these receivers are speedsters. I like Darius Haywood Bey a lot. He's the most versatile wideout the Raiders have. He has good speed, he can make someone miss, and is a decent blocker. I think he takes the next step this year. Haywood Bey is more consistent than Denarius Moore. Moore caught a lot of people off guard last year with his ability to get downfield, but now defenses will be more aware of him. Toby Ford is up and down. Tight end Brandon Mayers is not a receiving threat. I could cover Mayers, which is interesting. Your coach saying he can cover one of the players. Sleeper, Tywan Jones. One of the reserve backs is going to be in line for an increased work as the main backup to the off-injured Darren McFadden. Arrows point toward Jones. Coaches loved him last preseason before he spent the fall nicked up. But Carson Palmer, at this point, his career is more name than game. Palmer struggled last season after joining the team late and must now learn another new offense. An emphasis on the ground game will dilute his stats, too. Let's go straight into the records here. San Diego, at Miami, Pittsburgh, at Denver, have a bye week. At Atlanta, Jacksonville, at Kansas City, Tampa Bay, at Baltimore, New Orleans, at Cincinnati, Cleveland, Denver, Kansas City, at Carolina, at San Diego. I'm going to give you my thoughts. I feel as though that Oakland is going to be number 3 in their division, and they're going to go 9-7. That's my feeling. Let's go down Murderer's Row. Somebody just cursed. Thank you very much. I love you, too. Let's go Mike, Black, Mo than Jerry.
What team is this?
Raiders.
Hello?
Yeah.
Raiders.
Oh, the Raiders.
Right.
Yes.
8-8.
All right. Black.
Black
is
there.
Mo.
I'm gonna. Is Campbell still there?
Campbell's
no.
In Chicago.
Oh, they suck. They're going to go like, I'll give them 8-8.
All right, Jerry. And yes, we did lose Black.
6-10.
Ooh, I don't know about that, but okay.
Six and ten.
All right. Let's keep it moving, ladies and gentlemen, as we wind down this episode. We got 17 seconds before we go to overtime. I want to thank you guys for sticking in with us. Catch us on the archives. And, you know, we're about to go to overtime. Let's take it to Kansas City, who I think will be the number two or number one team in the AFC West. And we got Black back. This team is going to run the ball first and pass second because Matt Castle is not a quarterback. He can take the ball and win a game for you. We found him to be a high anxiety guy, and we know how to rattle him. In his big season 2010, he benefited from having a great running game with Jamaal Charles and Thomas Jones to take pressure off. Chiefs don't have that this year. It's going to be tough for Charles this season, less than a year removed from that torn left ACL. I don't think he'll be the same running back yet. That's one reason the team brought in Peyton Hillis. He did a great job in Cleveland, and he will do good things in Kansas City. Dexter McCluster will be the utility third down man who will be used in the quick game and on reverses and trick plays. Even with Castle throwing the ball to him, Dwayne Bowe is a very good receiver. You see how he gave him a backhanded compliment? One of the best in the league. He's a go-to option there. I'm looking for Jonathan Baldwin to go to do some great things this season, and I think he's about to have a breakout year. He's a tough physical wideout, like Bo, only more athletic. Steve Breton is just another guy. He'll man the slot. I really like tight end Tony Moriaki. If he can return healthy from a torn left ACL, he'll be a mismatch for linebackers because he's so athletic. With Kevin Boss as insurance, this team is pretty solid at tight end. Jonathan Baldwin is receiver, a sweeper, while Jamaal Charles is the bust, and I agree with that. Going down the schedule, Atlanta, at Buffalo, at New Orleans, San Diego, Baltimore, at Tampa, they have a bye week, at Oakland, home for Oakland, at San Diego, at Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Denver, Carolina, at Cleveland, at Oakland, Indianapolis, and finishing at Denver. Again, I believe this team is either going to win the West or they're going to come in second with a record of 10-6. I got them going 10-6 with Barry coming back and that defense stepping up some more and them giving the ball to Peyton Hillis and Baldwin stepping out. Let's go down the list. Let's go Black, Jerry, Moe, and Mike.
What's my head coach's name again, down there?
Oh, it's your boy, Cornell.
Romeo Cornell.
I love Cornell, man. So I'm going to back Cornell. I got the Kansas City going 9-7 or 10-6.
Okay. Mo?
Oh, I'm going to go with 9-7.
9-7? Mike?
Mm-hmm. 8-8.
8-8. Wow. Y'all think the West will be mediocre. I can't wait for this. Jerry, let's go.
All right, 9-7, 8-8, somewhere around there. A couple of these games can go either way.
So you guys think the Denver's is going to run away with the league, with the division then, because y'all giving them all three teams pissed world records.
No. What I had said before, I said most of these teams in this league are about the same. So that's what these records are going to be about the same. They're going to be about the same in this division because they're pretty equal in from one team to the next. So,
That's interesting.
So,
okay, let's go down to Denver. We'll go over to Denver, I should say. This offense will be exactly the one Peyton Manning ran in Indianapolis. That's the offense that he has been used to for so long. If he's healthy, and everything that I hear suggests he will be, he's going to be his old self. The numbers might not be as off charts as they were in Indianapolis because the transition is going to take some time. But I see Manning being just as effective. Demaryius Thomas is on the verge of a breakout year. He has excellent speed and can do some things after the catch. Now with Manning, Thomas is going to do some damage. Eric Decker is a solid receiver who will move the chains. I think he'll end up as the slot receiver, and in this offense, that's a guy who gets a lot of looks in the red zone. Brandon Stokley may have an edge over Andre Caldwell, since he's familiar with Manning and the system. But I doubt that either will be will see the field that much. The Broncos will play tight end Jacob Tanny and Joel Dreesen a lot. Because of his days with Manning and Indy, Tanny is my pick to be more productive. Both guys will get their numbers. Willis McGahee will have an even better year than he had in 2011 because of the effect that Manning will have on the passing game. Defenses won't be able to load the box to stop the running game anymore. Rookie Ronnie Hillman will be used in Darren Sproles' role tight, as a third down back. He's just not the caliber of Sproles. Sleeper, Ronnie Hillman, bust, Andre Caldwell. Let's go with the schedule. Pittsburgh, at Atlanta, Houston, Oakland, at New England, at San Diego, New Orleans, at Cincinnati, at Carolina, San Diego, at Kansas City, Tampa, at Oakland, at Baltimore, Cleveland, and finishing up with Kansas City. Personally, I think they're going to be the first or second team in the league with a 9-7 record. They won't be that explosive, and they'll miss the playoffs. They will miss the playoffs. So let me go this way. I'm going to go Mike, Mo, Black, and we'll finish up with Jerry.
I think they're going to be 9-7. I don't think they're going to run away with the division. I think they're going to have a little growing pains trying to get used to that offense.
Okay. Next.
Now, I think they're going 10-6. And
what?
Denver went to – I think they're going 10-6. They went to playoffs last year with Baby Jesus. You talk about freaking doggone Peyton Manning. Look, they're going 10-6. They're going to the playoffs.
But they also changed, they also changed their defense, dude.
I know they are, but still. I know they are, but I'm telling you, like, if they run the same offense, if Peyton's healthy, if he's doing – if he's Peyton with that division – yeah, they're going to playoffs because they were the playoffs last year with Baby Jesus who can't throw the football. So, yeah, and I love that dude. So, like, yeah, I'm going. They're going to playoffs. There you go. I'm just saying, how I feel.
All right, Black.
I don't bet against Manning at all. Don't do it.
This is very tricky for me because Denver is in a prime spot to have a good run this season. So they could end up 10-6, maybe 11-5. But they're actually also one hit away from going 1-15.
Correct.
It's really hard to call on this one. So,
correct.
Me being on the cautious side, I'm going to go ahead and just say 8-8.
Okay. Jerry?
This team is going to start out 0-3. Pittsburgh, Atlanta, Houston. 0-3, the first three games. They'll go 7-9, 8-8 at the most. Peyton Manning may put up numbers, but the whole team as a whole will not make the playoffs, and they'll be 7-9. I strongly believe that.
Well, 7-9, 9-7 is. I think, as you said, the teams in this division are pretty equal, but I see them getting between 9 wins, 9-8 wins. That's why I have Kansas City because I think Kansas City actually has a better schedule, even though they play some of the similar teams, it's just when they play them.
Right, exactly.
Is what's getting it. And I see Kansas City having the best opportunity to win a division, honestly, and representing. I think Kansas City has the only slot out of the West going to the playoffs. But, again, that's just me. So we'll see what happens. I know the last couple teams have been somewhat scatterbrained and not as in-depth as I would like them to be, but I'm on a real tough schedule here, and I'm sorry, guys, I have to cut it off and do all these short things here, but I got to get out of here.
Okay.
But I appreciate you guys coming on and breaking it down with me. Next week we're going to do which two divisions, Jerry, are we doing next week?
How about the NFC West and the AFC East?
That works.
How's
for me.
That?
Finishing up the that's good for me. Finishing
okay.
up the AFC with the AFC East. No, because we got to go to the South. We got to do the AFC South and the AFC.
Okay, we can do the AFC since we're on the AFC. How about the AFC East and AFC South? There we go.
That's better. That's
okay.
Better.
Okay.
We'll do that next week and get that in and take care of it that way. On tomorrow, what do you got planned for the master plan?
Just tune in tomorrow. I'm going to be talking about a few things, so just tune in tomorrow. We'll see what happens.
All right. Kim is taking the month of July off, so Kim will not be having her show on Tuesday. So we'll try to catch up with her when she gets back in August. On Thursday, we got FSP Crew Show. What's happening on the Crew Show, Black?
You haven't tuned in to see. Still too early. The week hasn't started yet. I'm sure things will be developing, so we'll see. But I want to call out that next weekend, if you're in D.C., make sure you go to the D.C. Armory. The Nike Hoops World Basketball International Festival takes place this Saturday and Sunday at the D.C. Armory in Washington, D.C. You'll catch teams from New York, L.A., Philly, and also D.C.'s Goodman League, along with some of the Dream Team members coming down from the 92 Dream Team, will be in the house at the Armory. And then on Monday, you want to keep it going, check out Team USA at the Verizon Center in Brazil, the women's and the men's squad, Monday at the Verizon Center.
All right. Promote. Then on Friday, we're going to continue with the conversation of, and I hate using this term, but this is what y'all got it dubbed, Obamacare.
No.
It's not Obamacare, but that's what y'all got it dubbed. And some other political conversation with Matt Williams and Jerry Taylor on No Chaser. It was a very highly debated show on yesterday, so we're going to continue it on this upcoming Friday. So
it,
guys,
ain't over.
You mean Obamacare.
That's right. It's the same bill that Mitt Romney put in Massachusetts, but now he's saying it's not.
He doesn't remember
exactly.
He didn't recall that he did.
Exactly.
He recall he did it. Yes.
Yeah, he doesn't remember. But anyway, we're going to talk about that on Friday. And Black is doing all promotion, so I appreciate that, Black. But I got to get out of here. So I got much love for everybody. Jerry, you know what you got to do.
Hey, make sure you check out that real estate in Humboldt County, player.
Humboldt County. Got it.
From all the FSP, you've been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
You wanna talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking Fantasy Sports and Politics.